It's Let's Talk Legal on the Talk Station, FM 107.1. And as we prepare to wrap up the year, I'm looking forward to the conversation with our actual host, for all intents and purposes, for the program, Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins of Harvell and Collins. And I make some light of the fact that we're coming to the end of the year, but I know that this is a big issue for all of us, anybody in the business world, and even in personal situations. Looking at the end of the year, we're pretty much coming to a deadline. And so with that, Cecil, Wes, good afternoon. Thanks for taking the time to talk with us. And how important is this end of the year activity?
Yes, it's a busy time of year for any business. December 31 is kind of a hard date. You know, that is the calendar end of the year, as we know, tax deadline for a corporation, LLC, and even for us personally. The bottom line, though, Lockwood, is that so many of our clients are doing business as a corporate entity, LLC and or C corporation, S corporation. Really, the topic of the day applies to all of those corporations, because what Mr. Collins will tell us is that, you know, if you're going to be a corporation, then you're going to have to stand up and talk and walk like a corporation, because otherwise some litigator somewhere is going to attempt to do what has kind of become a household word, pierce the corporate veil and hold the shareholders or members of the LLC personally liable because they are not abiding by corporate formalities. And so we need to abide by our corporate formalities. A corporation needs to have an annual meeting. They need to affirm that they have that and ratify the actions of the corporation for the year end. They need to state in the minutes anything of unusual activity, any additional loans that have been extended, any refinancing, any purchases of property, anything that would be new and different to the corporation for that calendar year. And then most importantly, in a corporation, the shareholders will meet and elect their board of directors. And right after that, the board of directors will meet and elect the officers, the presidents, the secretary of the corporation. And again, affirming and ratifying the actions of the corporation. At this same time, it's good to go to the Secretary of State website and make sure that the corporation has not been administratively dissolved, and that the addresses are correct on the with the official Secretary of State office in Raleigh, and just generally give a checkup, if you will, to the corporation. We are busy, very busy, doing this for all of our pending corporations. We're about complete with it at this point. We have a few lingering ones, but most all of our corporations and LLCs that we send minutes to, they respond very promptly. They're used to this now because they get them every year from us. We do them. We send them to our clients in the mail. They sign them and send them back, and we then put them in the corporate book for safekeeping.
Where are these corporate books? Do they keep them at the offices, or do you keep them? Are they filed electronically? It sounds to me like some of these instances, Cecil, could be very deep, multiple pages.
Let me answer the question first about are they filed electronically. There's really, Lockwood, not a central filing location for a lot of the corporate documents other than the Secretary of State. Okay, the Secretary of State for the state, North Carolina, is going to require certain documents to be filed, which are kind of baseline documents with regard to the existence of the corporation or the LLC. Those are going to be your original articles of incorporation. That's the first document that's filed in order to start the corporation. Then you're going to have annual reports that are filed. It's basically an update that the state requires, especially in an LLC, which is, again, annual report indicating who the members and managers are, or indicating who the officers are in a corporation. you really don't have much more than that that is centrally filed. So the other documents that are really important would be your bylaws. Those are obviously very important. Meeting minutes that Cecil just indicated, just referenced. Those are very important. Your stock certificates or membership certificates indicating who the owners of the business are. And I would make a quick comment with regard to that. It is very important to make sure that you do maintain those stock certificates accurately, or the membership certificates, which is really the same thing for an LLC, accurately, not just, you know, if you've had a change, someone else has come into the business, you sold some of your shares, you need to do that. You need to keep them accurate because you don't know what will happen, you know, in the future. There could be a mom and pop situation. There might be a divorce. There could be mm-hmm. other family members involved. And then to determine who owns that corporation, meaning where's the value of that business? Where's the value of that real property that's owned by the corporation or the LLC? Well, the law is that we look to these certificates to see how that's been owned. Now, there could be tax documents that would suggest otherwise, but really the certificates are that's what tells us, you know, who owns the asset, the corporation or the LLC. So that's really important. I've seen some real horror stories with that before in equitable distribution type cases.
Okay, so in other words, the corporate minutes more than not just an issue of, as Cecil pointed out a few moments ago, the corporate veil protecting the stockholders, but also protecting, if you will, the unraveling, the final distribution in the case of the sale or stock changes.
Right.
So
absolutely.
This is sort of ground zero, if I
right.
understand that correctly. For the
That's right. And to go back to your question a moment ago with regard to, you know, where are these corporate books kept? Mm-hmm. Well, where we at Harvell and Collins, our method that we've used for ever since I've been there, which is 22 years, is, you know, we make sure that our clients do, in fact, have a corporate book.
Oh.
Some entities, they're set up and there's never a corporate book that's ordered and put in place and so on and so forth. First of all, we make sure that happens. We make sure that corporate book is perfected from the beginning, and then we maintain that corporate book along with our clients, and we almost exclusively keep those corporate books at our office, okay? So we have control of that to make sure that our clients don't have a problem with regard to the corporate veil being pierced.
Uh-huh.
Now,
all right.
I would say that is somewhat rare for that to be so well organized. It's oftentimes that we sit down with maybe a new client or client where we haven't represented them regarding their corporation or LLC, and they may bring up the issue that they, you know, have a corporation or LLC and they don't know exactly what they need to be doing, and they're concerned. They've heard something about you really need to keep this organized. What do you need to do? And then, of course, the question is, well, where are your documents? And, you know, the answer in many cases is, I don't know. Maybe they're in a box in my office. I'm not really sure where they are. And it's fairly frequent that, you know, the client then brings to us an array of documents that are not in any order at all. There's no meeting minutes that have been done, so on and so forth. And we help them get that cleaned up, which is not a problem. You don't need to be embarrassed about the fact that maybe you didn't maintain the corporate book like you should over the years. Let's get it cleaned up going forward. But on the other side of that, you know, when I'm in representing a plaintiff in a lawsuit, you know, let's say this is a general contractor.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say that there's major problems with the house, and it's going to cost my client a lot of money to fix these problems. Well, you know, in many cases, we are not only suing the general contractor company, which is itself, the corporation or the LLC, which is normally who signs the contract. Mm-hmm. We're also bringing a claim for piercing of the corporate veil. So when we bring that claim, we are suing the individual as well, like whoever the individual owners of the business would be. And so that allows us to then get into documentation with regard to, okay, have you maintained this corporation? And we can, and number one. Number two, let's produce to us the past, say, 10 years of all of your bank records for the corporation. And in just about every one of those type situations for folks who do not maintain their corporate book, we find in those bank records that there's also commingling of funds. So you're using corporate money for individual expenses, mm-hmm. which allows us to then, you know, in layman's terms, go after the individual. Now, that might make a big difference for a plaintiff in a case like that, because what if the corporation or the LLC doesn't own, you know, much of anything but some tools?
Right.
Okay. Well, if the individual contractor, you know, has money or has real property or has other assets that we can get to in the event that we prevail in the case, well, because we pierced the corporate veil, number one, and because we've been successful in that, because they failed to maintain their corporate documents, number one, and they've commingled their funds, and it could be either of those, we have a right for that judgment to attach to the individual shareholders as well. So there's much more that we can recover from. There's more assets there. Mm-hmm. So on the flip side of that, we want to make sure that for our clients, that, as Cecil mentioned earlier, that they walk, talk, and act like a corporation. We don't want these our corporate clients, our LLCs, to be somewhat of a sham corporation, mm-hmm. where we just filed with the Secretary of State, did nothing else, because we know that's really not worth the paper it's written on in the event you do have a problem, in the event that you do get sued, in the event you do get audited, in the event, you know, you get into these issues. And as I often say, and I tell my clients this all the time, I tell my kids this all the time, it's not a problem until it's a problem.
Right. And
who cares if you keep your corporate book maintained if nobody is checking into it?
Okay.
But when you have a problem, you're going to wish and hope that you had maintained everything properly.
Two things, Lockwood. They're very simplistic and yet just so very important. We've already mentioned that, you know, all the time. I mean, you know, consistently, folks will come in, discuss that they own a corporation or an LLC, and then the next question is, well, is your book up to date? Can you bring us your book? What do your stock certificates say?
Uh-huh.
This comes up in an estate planning context, as you would expect, Lockwood. Many times it comes up just in general as a corporate appointment. And the response is, well, I don't really know exactly what you're talking about, Cecil. What do you mean, a corporate book? Or I think I have a file folder with my charter in it, my organizational document from the Secretary of State, but that's really about all I have. Well, that's, of course, that's news that we don't want to hear, and we do want to change the course of action by that company consistent with what we've talked about earlier today or throughout this program. The second thing, Lockwood, that I just cannot emphasize enough, every listener that we have needs to go to the North Carolina Secretary of State website, mm-hmm. and check the current status of their corporation and check the registered address and who the officer and registered agent happens to be. All of this is online. I would say that the Secretary of State of North Carolina has one of the most user-friendly as well as, you know, comprehensive websites that money can buy. That's a good thing. Government money in that particular seems to be working in that context of the Secretary of State. They have an excellent website. So many folks do not realize that their corporation has been administratively dissolved. If the address is not correct, they're not getting notices. They're not getting. They're not being put on record with regard to what's happening with their corporation. They'll look at it and they will say, "Gosh, well, that was my address 4 years ago. That's before we moved into the new space or the new building, or that's before my wife and I moved to a new a new home, which used to be our registered address. Well, you know, it didn't get updated. And if it doesn't get updated in the Secretary of State system, then all of the necessary forms and information and notice of administrative dissolution are going to the wrong address. So everyone should check their corporate entity with the North Carolina Secretary of State. You can use the website. You can also call them, okay, and check. But the website is very, very good.
We're talking with Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins this morning, this afternoon, actually, on Let's Talk Legal, about the whole issue of corporate management and, well, if you will, corporate structure, and the importance of the maintenance of their minutes and all of the basic detailed documents. Going back to this issue of failure to have maintained a current level of standards with the Secretary of State and also in the corporate minutes. Wes, Cecil, you both said that, this has happened in other instances. Is there a way to take corrective action?
Well, yes. I mean, absolutely. And we do that all of the time. You know, we're busy, very busy right now, reinstating certain corporations or LLCs that were administratively dissolved. And as I said a moment ago, much to the surprise of the client, because the address changed or whatever the case might be. So, yes, we reinstate the corporation. There are forms that have to be filed to be able to do that, and they are reinstated. In terms of them not having maintained a corporate book, we order a corporate book. We reestablish the initial certificate so that the ownership of the corporation, the stock certificates, and or the membership interest are consistent and in good standing. And then, Lockwood, we proceed to put them into an update system. And, of course, as we all know, 1 year goes by, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years. The next thing you know, we've got 5 or 6, 7 years of solid documentation on an annual basis of their minutes. And that corporation, you know, in that corporation now would withstand some sort of challenge just because of the fact that, you know, they really do have their affairs in order. They might not have initially, and they might not for, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 years prior to that time, but now here we are where they really have been in good standing for quite some time. So you're correct, Lockwood. This is very much, and it's not the way it is in so many other areas of the law, but in this particular area of the law, we can correct these errors and get our client on the right track. I just happened to, my mind immediately goes to, guess what? We can't do a new will after someone dies.
Right. That's true. Okay, good point. Wes, you were saying how important this is relative to protecting the corporations in the case of a lawsuit. Are in those circumstances, in light of the fact there may have been several years of failed management of their records, is there a way to take a corrective action so as to avoid the inclusion of those previous years?
The past years.
Okay.
You know, as far as how you maintain the corporation, but there is obviously a process you can go through in order to improve the situation relative to the health of the corporation, the LLC, going forward.
Okay.
And that is certainly what I would recommend doing. You know, in the event that, let's say, that we have a mom and pop corporation, and, you know, most of our corporations and LLCs in Eastern North Carolina are, you know, we don't have Coca-Cola Corporation here.
You would almost say that they're kind of accidental. They just slowly, organically, develop.
Well, yeah, and in many cases, it's just family involved. It could be a mom and pop. It could be an owner and their brother, and it could be maybe 3 or 4 business partners together. You know, sometimes we have larger corporations with more shareholders in it, you know, in them for larger businesses. But in many cases, it's your, you know, smaller type corporations with not, you know, that many owners. But, you know, going forward, you know, the best thing to do is that if you recognize, okay, well, I had this corporation, I had this LLC, I'm listening to Mr. Harbell, Mr. Collins here on the radio, and I understand kind of what they're talking about. Yeah, I need to write that down as something I need to get cleaned up. Well, that's exactly the way you need to think about that.
Okay.
And Mr. Collins here and Mr. Harbell, or the respective, you know, listener's attorney, you know, could certainly do that. And it could be a case that, you know, this mom and pop did, in fact, have meetings each year, meaning they did discuss the corporation, what's going on with the business, but never documented that with meeting minutes. Well, if that's the case, well, let's sit down and talk about, you know, when you did that. Did you do it like every Thanksgiving or every Christmas when you know, the family got together? Did you do it? How often did you do this? And if you did, let's go back and clearly document that you did have those meetings and have them properly, you know, signed off on, make sure they're consistent with, let's say, your tax returns, because you probably did keep those up, and put together our meeting minutes retroactively, clearly reflecting that they're being done at a later date, but doing them just so that we don't have a gap as far as the actual meeting minutes themselves. And so you can do that, and then obviously some advice with regard to how to operate the corporation from a financial standpoint to make sure going forward that we're not commingling funds and you know, those type of things.
I think so, this is an important story we're hearing today from Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins. Harvell and Collins, by the way, is the website, harvellandcollins.com. And by the way, I also remind you, the phone number, 252 area code, 726-9050, 726-9050. I want to go to a topic here of deadline for these minutes, Cecil, Wes, because, you know, somebody's listening to this and saying, oh my goodness, we haven't maintained good records. Wes has just advised us that we could potentially be personally involved if we have a major conflict, legal conflict. We need to get our act in gear. What is a deadline? Is there a deadline, a date certain, and is it developed around a calendar year or, if you will, a fiscal year for the business?
Well, we update our corporations that we represent on a calendar basis and at the end of the year. If they're accounting methods are fiscal, then there's nothing wrong with there being a fiscal year end update, but at least if we have the annual update in order, then that will suffice. Okay, so the point is that there's an annual update, be it at the end of the calendar year or be it at the end of the fiscal year. The bottom line is we want there to be an update, and we want there to be a check-in with the Secretary of State to make sure that the entity is in good standing. In terms of a start date, Lockwood, we've kind of discussed this, but it's good to always say things more than once. That, you know, we can start tomorrow. If our listener, if a listener out there is hearing, well, gosh, I know I'm incorporated, but I have no idea where a corporate book is. I don't even know what these lawyers are talking about. And I certainly don't know the address to the website for the Secretary of State. Well, you know, let's start. Let's begin. Let's get it done. We can reconstruct the entity with a new corporate book that's ordered, issue the appropriate kind of ownership certificate, do the original meetings with the corporation, and then of course put that corporation on autopilot so that it is, or LLC, I want to say, so that it is then annually updated, and that's better than just letting it all stay out there dormant in a file folder somewhere, hoping for the best.
There's motivation here for our listeners. Do pay attention to what we're hearing this afternoon from Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins. All right, one quick question before we wrap it up. And, of course, we're talking about corporations, LLCs, and C-Corp and S-Corps. Are there similar requirements for partnerships, or are partnerships not concerned with keeping minutes and things of this nature?
Well, there's a body of law dealing with partnerships that, depending on what type of partnership it is much more relaxed than an LLC or a corporation.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have, like, the formal filing. You can have formal filing documents with regard to a partnership. We recommend that in the event you enter a partnership with someone and that's what you intend to do, then you have a written partnership agreement as opposed to it just being a handshake, because a lot of times, unfortunately, those handshakes end up in court because one person thinks the agreement's one thing and another person thinks the agreement's another. And that's one of the, you know, somewhat few areas of the law when you're talking about, you know, significant business transactions where it can be very informal. It can be based on a handshake and a verbal agreement.
Right. All right.
But there's no corporate book, so to speak.
All right.
And there is some formality that we recommend, but it can be very informal.
All right.
Partnership.
We're talking with Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins of Harvell and Collins. And the issue, of course, is maintenance of those details. And that starts with corporate structure and corporate minutes. And as we wrap it up here with Cecil and Wes, you said something a moment ago, Cecil. This is a busy time of year. Is it because of these? Is this one of the reasons?
Well, it's one of the reasons, but no, it's certainly not the only thing that's keeping us very busy. And at Harvell and Collins, we're just busy folks, it seems, lately, and that's a good thing. We appreciate. We would like Wes and I would like to take a minute. I know that we have some very loyal listeners because they tell me that. I could name, you know, a dozen or more that tell me that they tune in every week. And we just so appreciate our clients. We appreciate the fact that we are busy. We appreciate the opportunity to not only perform legal services, which Wes and I take very, very seriously, we also appreciate the opportunity with you, Lockwood, to take a moment every week and in our own way, have an opportunity to give back to the communities that support us in putting out this legal information, deciphering, demystifying the law for those that will listen to the program and hear that or follow up. The program, of course, is also regurgitated, if you will, repeated onto our website as well as Facebook. And so listeners can go back and listen to prior programs.
Mm-hmm.
We also have Andrew Foster at our office, who, as you know, Lockwood, does a weekly program concentrated mostly on tax issues. And so we're very appreciative and thankful for where we are, and we appreciate your program as well, Lockwood.
Well, I can tell you that I, along with many others, appreciate the I think the word you used, and I like that very much, Cecil, demystifying the law, thereby giving us an opportunity to understand the value of what you bring to the table. To Cecil and Wes, I want to wish you a very Merry Christmas. Thank you for your time. Look forward to a busy year ahead.